And we're back for our final moments, our final time together this morning when we're chatting again about criminal procedure in America. We spent most of the first hour talking about search warrants, going off of the affidavit and the authorization to search the premises at Mar-a-Lago, the residence of the former president, talking about the trappings of that, where that comes from, the basis for getting it, the fact that there is this check and balance process before a judge can authorize that kind of thing. And then talking just before the break about the grand jury process. Again, as the investigation goes forward, materials assembled, witnesses identified, and people appearing then in front of a grand jury. We have seen that a lot in recent history in America, certainly in long-standing history of America. Routine for people who have information about facts and circumstances to be summoned, sometimes by subpoena, sometimes voluntarily, in front of a grand jury, again, determining under the Fifth Amendment, determining under Rule 6 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, whether there's a basis to charge someone, and doing that privately, doing that again deliberatively. Again, my own experience has been those grand jurors, like trial jurors, take that responsibility hugely, hugely seriously and do an excellent job. And I think when you talk to grand jurors, if they self-identify afterwards, and they would have to do that, we do not identify who they are at any time, they will tell you that they had not only a good experience in terms of hearing cases, but also a real affirmation about the rule of law and how we do things in this country to ensure that the rights of defendants are protected, regardless of who they are, where they come from, economically, politically, socially, in terms of where they are in their own lives. That's a part of our process. And so another part of that process, of course, is the movement then toward trial or disposition of some kind. Again, in the wake of a grand jury indictment, in the wake of issuing of charges by a state authority, many DAs, including here in Wisconsin, have the capacity to issue charges without the use of a grand jury. But in the federal system, the one that I'm familiar with, and also in the system in Georgia, a grand jury right now looking at, again, the issue of whether or not the former president and perhaps people in his ambit engaged in conduct that would have been in violation of state law there, trying to undermine the counting, the registering, if you will, of electoral college votes in the state of Georgia. And this derives principally from the recorded, the visual impact of the president calling the Secretary of State there, and this in the wake of the 2020 election, and asking for 11,780 votes. It's on tape. We know he made that request to Secretary Raffensperger at the time, and asking for that because if that was the amount of the votes in Georgia, that would give him, under the electoral process, Georgia as an electoral college votes in his tally. We know that Joe Biden, the president, won that state, but the president asking for that, and we know as well that there is a district attorney named Fani Willis. She is in Fulton County, which is basically Atlanta, and she has initiated an investigation. And again, this is not a federal investigation. This is a state investigation, and she is looking to that particular state law to determine whether or not there was a violation of state law in the making of that call and other things. We know just this past week that Rudy Giuliani appeared in front of that grand jury for about 4 hours or so. We do not know what he said. Again, a private proceeding. And we know as well that a Senator Lindsey Graham has been directed by a federal judge to appear in front of that state grand jury process, a special grand jury there, to hear evidence of crimes in that setting as well. Again, we don't know what will come of that, but again, that is a situation where a state officer, a state district attorney, are now undertaking an investigation through the grand jury process prior to charging anyone in that case. And finally, in our last moments today, another issue, much in the public domain this past week. We know as a result of a plea that was entered this past week, now moving up the East Coast to Manhattan, and the district attorney's office there, that a fellow named Alan Weisselberg, who used to be the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization, pled guilty to state charges issued by the DA there a number of months ago, 15 different counts, basically of financial misdeeds, 15 felonies under state law, alleging for the most part they engaged in a system, all sorts of economic financial misdeeds, principally in the nature of misstating amounts of money paid to employees, the methods by which they were paid, and maintaining two sets of books. And so I raised that issue not only because it's, again, very much in the public domain this past week with respect to the Trump Organization, but for two other reasons. One is, underscores one of the fundamental ways in which a case out of a charging decision by a DA, out of a grand jury, which this was not, but out of a charging decision, can also be disposed of. Alan Weisselberg not going to trial, entering into a plea agreement with the government, with the DA's office there, pursuant to which he will limit his exposure probably to about 5 months in a incarcerative facility, a time credited for good behavior. Will also probably face some fines as well, some criminal monetary fines imposed upon him. In exchange for that, he pleads guilty, and he also agrees to testify, and that's also an important part of this, agrees to testify again in a public domain. We know that that case in which he has been charged is not complete with his agreement to plead guilty to the offense conduct, because there's a second defendant also charged by the DA in Manhattan, and that second defendant is the corporation itself. It's the Trump Company, if you will. And as I've indicated in the past, earlier today as well, you can in fact indict federally, in this case in the state system. You can charge a corporation. A corporation can also engage in conduct that is violative of state or federal law. It can be done all the time through a federal grand jury process, a state grand jury process. Here, the state district attorney at the time, Cyrus Vance, now a fellow named Alvin Bragg, who is the new DA in Manhattan, has charged the corporation as well. And so Alan Weisselberg's agreement with the government, with the DA's office, is that not only will he pay $2 million in back taxes, not only will he agree to enter this plea of guilty, which resolves the cases against him, but he agreed to testify in the trial that is still forthcoming against the Trump Company. Now, you may ask, well, gee, how do you try a company? What does that look like? Do you bring in the building? Do you bring in the desks? And you don't do that, of course. There has to be some representative of the company who is sitting there in trial, typically someone of a high-level authority, who's got the capacity to make decisions about the defense of the company. No one charged individually, aside, of course, here from Alan Weisselberg. The corporation itself exposed to criminal liability. All sorts of things could happen to a corporation if, in fact, there's a finding by the trial jury that the corporation is engaged in the criminal conduct with which it's been charged. Could be subject to dissolution under the state constitution, if you will, the state laws and regulations establishing the corporation. Could be fined, and that's the big imposition of a penalty as to a corporation, a monetary sanction, in many cases bringing to an end the corporation itself. That trial with respect to the Trump Company, the Trump Corporation, that is still out there, and that is still going forward. Of course, the other big issue that has to be in part of the national focus and the national inquiry is what is next with respect to the DA investigation, which is still open. It is plain that Alan Weisselberg has signaled his disinclination, his strong decision not to testify against the former president, who is undeniably still the head of that corporation. What impact does that have upon the continuing investigation of matters related to the criminal investigation of the Trump Organization in the DA's office there in Manhattan? We know plainly that Alan Weisselberg has this obligation to testify. He has indicated that his testimony will not include specific information about his relationship with, his engagement with, the former president
And that is certainly an issue that the prosecutor, the DA, Alvin Bragg, has got to consider as further charges are considered and perhaps brought forth or perhaps not in the future. We know as well as we begin to enter into our final moments here together that up the street across the Foley Square there, the state attorney general is also conducting an investigation of like things, financial issues related to the Trump Organization, insurance matters, banking matters, finance matters, also the subject of a civil investigation, not a criminal investigation, a civil investigation being pursued by Letitia James, the state attorney general. What authority does she have? Well, she has got the capacity to file a civil lawsuit against the corporation in the same way that the DA has filed a criminal lawsuit against the corporation. We're going to talk more about that next time. But as we begin to close today, I want to thank my producers today, Connor and Calvin, who are with me today in the studios of WAUK. I also want to thank Don Brown for inviting me not only to his show this morning, but coming back next week on Morning Cannolis. Thank Mike Crude as well for giving this opportunity to come with you every single Saturday morning on Morning Cannolis, talking about the important issues of the day, law, government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Join us again next week at 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock as we talk more about all of those issues and more. Have a good week, everybody. Take care.